And lastly, we were talking about the immunotherapy combination. This has been tested in the CheckMate 227, so the combination of ipilimumab and nivolumab against platinum-based chemotherapy. And there we have seen that in a subgroup of patients, in 40% of the patients who have a high tumor mutational burden on their tumor, there is indeed a significant improvement in progression-free survival favoring the combination of ipilimumab and nivolumab compared to platinum-based chemotherapy. And our challenge now will be to identify the best combination for the individual patient. So this will be the challenge for the future.
Okay, well, that's what I want to try to dissect out for you in terms of kind of like what you're doing or what you would like to do based on the data. I'm going to go through a bunch of things that are, you know, pretty obvious, really, in terms of questions and subsets. But one just general question about the combination trials in both squamous, non-squamous in general. Do we have much information about whether the patients who were randomized to chemo got IOs on relapse?
There was, let's say, in half of the trials, there was the opportunity to cross over. So, for example, in the KEYNOTE-189, there was the opportunity to cross over to pembrolizumab in case that the patients had received placebo. This was not foreseen in each trial. However, when you look on the data of post-progression therapy, there is a substantial group of patients in each trial who received post-progression immunotherapy.
Because, you know, it really introduces a concept that you see throughout oncology. It started in breast cancer, where initially they were using combinations, and now they wanted to use single agents. And then we heard a lot of discussion in myeloma about, do you pile everything on together or give it sequentially? I know it seems, you know, they're different diseases, but from an oncologist's point of view, it kind of has similar. And I guess the same question here, you know, when you talk about giving this, theoretically, you're saying it's better than waiting. So either there's a synergy between the chemotherapy and the IO, or maybe the patient, you know, gets too sick and gets too far behind, or maybe there's genetic evolution. What do you think explains the survival benefit?
I think it's the interaction. It's
really
clearly a specific interaction between chemotherapy and immunotherapy. I have to tell you that we really have a rapid disclosure of all of these data. So we do see interim analysis. I think we have to wait for the follow-up analysis. And what we would like to see is this plateau of long-term overall survival, because this is the substantial benefit which is of value for the individual patient. So far, we only can see we have a hazard ratio. There is a benefit, it's clear, but I think the real value will come out by the longer follow-up when we see the two-year overall survival rates, when we are talking about the three-year overall survival rates, and when we really can identify a plateau of efficacy for these patients.
But you think there's a synergy, and you think there's a synergy in terms of long-term benefit?
Long-term benefit, yes. So we had the same discussion when we started with the EGF receptor TKIs and the mutated patients. So we had a response rate of more than 70%, and we said, are we curing the patient? But after 2 years, we had to identify relapse in that disease. So it's still metastatic disease, but we have an extremely good control. And I think this is the major goal of our treatment, that we are able to control the disease and to provide the patient with a good quality of life.